Humans, turn a great idea into a reality with Squarespace. That is their motto. But you know what I mean. Turn your passion into something that people can see on the international web. Squarespace makes it easier than ever to launch your passion project, whether you're showcasing your work or selling products of any kind, with beautiful templates and the ability to customize just about anything. You can easily make a beautiful website yourself. And if you do get stuck, Squarespace is 24/7 award-winning customer support is there to help. Head to squarespace.com/improv for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code IMPROV, IMPROV, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. That is me. I'm here with Pete Holney.
Hey, hey.
Welcome back, Pete. We're here with Charlie Sanders.
Hi.
Horatio Sands.
Hello, everybody.
But folks, we're here with five-time musical guest Austin Lucas. Welcome back to the show, Austin.
Oh, hello. It's a pleasure to be here five times officially.
Yeah, and your bandmates aren't on mic, but just they can holla from the background. Why don't you introduce them real quick? There they go. We got Alex, Matt, and Chuck, right? There we go. I remember. That's pretty good, Besser. Thank you. All right. So you obviously know the format. You're going to play a song. We're going to do some scenes off of it. So I'm going to give this mic's going to become the guitar mic. And what do you got for us first?
That's okay. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll do Shallow Inland Sea. Let's start it out slow and sexy for everybody here today.
Sleep somewhere in the shallow inland sea, amongst the rustling leaves of tulip poplar trees. You came to be next to me, carried in by the warm summer breeze. Together like I'd always hoped to be, somewhere in the shallow inland sea. And the smell of sweat both lingered on our flesh, was the closest thing to clothing that we owned. And you smiled a perfect crescent as I slipped inside your birthday wedding gown. You opened like a book, I committed every word to set fire to all the pages through the ashes in the shallow inland. What a dream it was. proudly die for love. Where do they go in the dreams of the young?
That sounds amazing. You're always, always taking it to the next level, Austin. Amazing voice. Amazing writer. So, Charlie.
Yes.
I hear you're getting engaged to that woman you've been
going with? I finally proposed.
Great.
It was beautiful.
Can I ask you, though?
Uh-huh.
Before you officially go all the way and pull the trigger?
Yeah.
I asked this to all my friends, and you asked me to be your best man. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, no,
this
please.
This is not a sarcastic question.
Uh-huh.
Would you proudly die for love?
Of course. I mean, I'd proudly die for all kinds of things.
Really?
Yeah, I'd proudly die for love. I'd, you know, I'd proudly die for a friend. I'd
proudly... Oh, bullshit.
What? What do you mean bullshit?
You would proudly die for a friend?
Any friend. I would proudly die for an acquaintance.
All right. You going to get that?
That's your house. I thought you'd get it.
You're nearest the door, but I'll get it.
No, I got it. I got it. No problem at all.
I got it. Hey, man.
Hey, what's up? So, is he going to do it?
Huh? I asked him a question. He's bragging that he'll proudly die for everybody, so I don't think he's taking it.
I think
reality.
Every single human being on Earth has the exact same value, so I'd die for anyone.
Statements don't follow each other necessarily.
The only one I wouldn't die for is myself, because I'm so selfless.
Oh, dude.
Would you die for me?
Yeah, of course.
Because I want to fake my death, because I've been doing some fucked up shit.
What?
The law's got caught up with me.
What you see, you're getting taken advantage of. This is what happens when you say you'll die for anyone.
So you want me to pretend to be you and then die so you can get away with the shit you've done?
Yes.
Fuck, I wish I hadn't said what I said earlier, but yeah.
So you're that guy? He said he wants to marry you? You guys are getting married?
Yeah. I'm really excited about it, but I kind of question his loyalty and whether he loves me or not.
Why? What's happening?
Well, I'm not really sure if he's 100% committed.
Oh, is that because everybody's saying that he'll just die for anything?
Anybody,
even
yeah.
by someone walking down the street?
Yeah,
and that,
a dog.
And that guy's trying...
Squirrel. Anything. He said he'd die for anything.
I hear his friend's like a white-collar criminal and really screwed over a lot of people, and he's going to die for him to fake his death?
Excuse me, ladies.
Yes?
Excuse me, time to do the feet.
Okay, thank you.
Just make sure you use that the purple color again that I like. What was the name of it? You called it something funny.
It was Cajingdo Dao.
Yes, could you? I'd like to use that.
Okay.
Put a dragon on it this time.
Okay.
That's not. I'm not being racist.
Do you want new tools?
A dragon? What?
Do you want new tools?
Tools? Yeah.
New tools. New utensils.
Ding ding ding.
Very hard. Martha, Meredith.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know if you heard, but Charlie died in an office fire earlier today. I'm sorry to have to be the one to break it to you.
What the hell?
The man that you're supposed to him?
Yes,
that's
Charlie? My fiance.
But you can't say it was him. You have to pretend it was Horatio.
Wait a minute, you just told me it was who?
I wasn't supposed to give that piece of information away.
That's what I was telling you about. He did this to cover up
that hurts. What are you doing to my toe?
Oh, sorry. I got wrapped up in the drama of it all. This is terrible.
Yeah, I just found out my fiance killed himself.
And you have to...
In a fire, and you're stabbing me with some sort of toothpick or
so
something.
So we cut to the fake funeral of Horatio, and we see Charlie's body in the funeral, and his fiance has snuck into the funeral because she... Excuse me, ma'am, you have to leave. You're not I'm part of the family or loved ones.
I'm just here to pray. I feel bad for this person who died.
Were you a relative of Horatio's? Only relatives and close friends.
I'm just here because I work I work at the church here. Okay, I'm lying.
Like you're lying because you don't look Jewish and this is a synagogue.
I do know. I didn't know Horatio was he's Jewish?
He's very Jewish. Oh. Okay. I don't want to threaten you with this taser, but you need to leave right now. This is only friends and family.
Why would you even pull that out of me?
Why would you want to be at a funeral of someone you don't know?
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because that's not Horatio in there.
Everyone from the family turns
What?
Yeah. What? Excuse me?
Huh? That's not what? Horatio.
What are you talking about?
Who died in a fire?
Horatio is dead.
What is going on?
Are you sure?
She works her way to the coffin. She pushes back friends and family.
Whoa! What are you doing?
Look.
You're knocking over my fish.
Look. What? Look. Just look. It's not him. It's my fiancé.
Of course it's him. He was bloated after he died.
No, that's not the point.
They made him shave for that new Showtime show.
There's a tattoo. Roll him over.
All know about the tattoo, so how's this going to prove?
Because you know that he didn't have it where it was.
We all know about Horatio's okay, fine. Take the pants off the corpse and roll it over.
No problem at all. Uh-oh.
That's not you.
No, it's fine. I'll take the pants off the corpse.
They're cut in the back when people
Excuse
die.
Me?
They just lay them on top.
I wouldn't mind taking the pants off the corpse.
Who are you? Oh.
No one. Excuse me.
Who was that?
I don't know, but it was weird that he wanted to take the pants off of a dead person.
We follow the camera, follows that guy. To the next funeral, burial, and another part of the cemetery.
Oh, good, there's another
one.
And
as we lay to rest, does anyone have any final words?
I object. Excuse me.
There's no, it's happening.
Okay, if I just wander up here close to the casket and...
okay, just words.
Have you checked the corpse's penis yet?
Good heavens. What are you saying?
Huh? That?
Well, just to be sure, there was no penicular damage.
It's a 9-year-old boy in that casket. What?
Even
what are you talking
better.
About?
What? Huh?
Even better. No, get out of here. He runs up to just an old grieving widow who is there to place roses.
I object. I mean, hello?
What are you doing here? Did you know Gerald?
Oh, I knew Gerald quite well.
Really? He died 45 years ago, and you don't even look 45.
Oh, well, I had a psychic connection to him, I always felt like.
Okay.
So, Gerald had... I don't know if you read the fine print of his will.
Okay, why are you digging?
Huh?
Why are you digging?
Gerald... Gerald, is it okay for me to use this shovel that was laying in this bush?
What are you looking for?
Gerald, in the fine print of his will, had said that
he pushes the old woman out of the way. He does finally get to the coffin and pulls up. It takes a long time for one person to get an old coffin out of a grave 6 feet.
You need some help?
I would love some help. Thank you.
I can help you out.
Oh, yes. That would be great if we could use your bobcat. Thank you. In a way. Thank you. Oh, you're really digging into the casket there with those things. Careful. Oh, God. Oh, that's bone. You definitely hit bone.
As the sun starts to set, he finally opens the casket to reach his goal of the day.
Skeletons don't have penises. What a bummer.
Iris. That is the bummer. Every time you try to fuck a skeleton, realize it didn't have a penis. All right, Austin. So, can you give him the mic right here while I ask him about his lyrics, Pete? So what was this song about? I know, does this whole album, like your last one, have a general theme to it?
Yeah, a lot of it does. I moved back home from Nashville, Tennessee, back to Bloomington, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And after I had suffered from a very, I would say, acute case of what I call the Nashville sads. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that people get LA sads. It's like, you know, when the industry that you're in is like unaccepting of your high art.
Oh, every pilot and, season. We have a season for it.
Anyway, you know, so I was suffering from an acute case of the Nashville sads, and I decided to come home. And I came home, and a lot had kind of changed about Bloomington, in the interim, in the years that I've been in Tennessee, and also, you know, all over the place, because I lived a lot of places. And I don't know. I wrote that song kind of when I was falling in love, and I sort of imagined this like fantastical, beautiful place where, you know, passion and love last forever, and you could just die right there in the arms of the person that you that you care about more than anything. Yeah,
it's very nice. Now, when you said Bloomington's changed, how, for the negative, is that what I'm hearing?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, Bloomington's definitely got it's got more bars than it used to, so that's cool. It used to be like only one or two places that people like us could go to and hang out, and now there's more liquor licenses, so there's like a lot of like younger, cooler entrepreneurial people opening up rad spaces, and there's a lot of great things going on in Bloomington. But I mean, the opioid crisis is everywhere, and it's like really affected Bloomington. I mean, we have, I think it's the highest poverty rate in the entire country. It's just something that people don't know about, and we have an exponentially high homelessness rate, and so it's just sort of an interesting juxtaposition, because it's like this beautiful college town in the middle of like, you know, several state parks, you know, like surrounded by forests. It's like kind of like a paradise, and there's like all these very serious, like kind of what we think of as big city problems that are sort of very acute, because the amount of services that we have, because we have services, because it's like a progressive bastion of like, politics or whatever, and caring, the services that we do have are overwhelmed because so many other cities send their homeless populations to us, and you know, so it's a very stark contrast from like the place that I grew up, which is like kind of this very idyllic community, and now it's it still is that in a lot of ways, but the problems with our economy and the direction that the country has gone, especially the last couple of years, is very apparent and obvious in the place where we live. So, yeah.
I hear you. Fuck Trump.
Yeah, big time.
So, Horatio, I didn't think these lab tests were correct at first, so we sent it to the Mayo Clinic, and they reconfirmed.
Damn, there must be some big stuff going on.
Well, this is a very rare case. Now, this, in layman's term, this disease is called Nashville SAD. Okay, but it usually only happens entirely to country music singers, occasionally bluegrass singers, sometimes alt country singers, but usually around those genres of type of performers going to Nashville to try to make it in some way, being frustrated with the system. But I see from you that you have nothing to do with country music, so this is kind of
so is my
odd.
Blood different because of it?
Well, you are, that's what's causing the depression, so that's what you came to me for. So it is clinical depression, but it is a very odd. Have you ever have you ever been to Nashville even?
I have.
Oh yeah, why were you there?
I was there, I went to see Elvis's house.
Right, Graceland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice.
So you had a good experience there. So cool. Wait a minute. Wait. Graceland's like in Memphis.
Huh?
Okay. Are you sure you're in Memphis or Nashville?
What do you? You're the doctor.
All right. This might be part of the Nashville sadness. You were in Memphis and thought you were in Nashville.
Maybe I have the Memphis blues.
No, we test for that too. This is very clearly Nashville sad, and it would make sense to maybe go to Graceland, be disappointed by the experience. A lot of people are. They just realize, oh, it's just a big rich house.
Oh no, I loved it. I thought it was incredible.
Okay, so yeah. But even, yet you were in Memphis. You weren't in Nashville.
I was in Memphis.
Okay,
so maybe
do you see what's happening here?
I liked it so much that it makes me sad to think about Nashville.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it's definitely a symptom. Do you like any country music?
I do.
Okay.
I like the Trunk Brothers.
I've never heard of them. The Trunk Brothers?
The Scruggers.
The Scruggers. Yeah. Is that part of the Earl Scruggs? The Jolly Wog? These are obscure bands. I'm very impressed.
Oh, but they're all, if you just listen to them, because they're really good.
Okay, well, I can give you some...
Primrose Path is another great one.
Oh, okay.
That's so more of a cult, actually.
Oh. I'm not aware.
Doctor?
Yes?
Here are those meds that you wanted for the Nashville Blues. Or okay. Sadness? Sorry. Oh, I think I got the wrong one. Let me go. I'll be right back.
Please. I don't want an upper when I'm asking for a downer. Please.
Yep, I got you. Sorry. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Really good, thanks.
Very attractive. Oh. Is it okay to say that while I'm in the...
No, not at all.
Not while I'm in my session?
I'm going to assume this is part of your symptoms of Nashville
I'm
sadness.
Sorry to knock on the door like this, but I am Father Odessi of the Primrose Path. I'm just checking on my friend and mentee, Horatio.
Okay, I wasn't aware you came with someone.
Yes, if you're a member of the Primrose Path, we always travel in twos.
I did not know that, but I just gave a diagnosis to Horatio that he does have the Nashville sad.
The Nashville sad. Well, we can easily cure that back at the house. A simple sage burning and recitation of some of the psalms should do it.
And we cut back to the house when they're in the middle of this process.
And lo, the sun shines on the water, and it sparkles so beautifully in the moonlight with the stars shining down. But let's hope there's not a tsunami. Okay, I'm sorry. I feel like Lewis, Bart, seemed like you two didn't know the words to the Psalms.
I done knew it.
Okay.
It's that you put your own spin at it and get all caught up in it and jump ahead of us.
Oh, I'm just...
We're trying to just keep up.
Okay, well, pardon, Lewis. The Psalms are always, to my knowledge, sung the same way.
And I looked this up after the last time we did the Psalm. And I don't want to disrespect you, but tsunami is not in the Bible anywhere.
What? Yes, of course it is.
We looked it up. There's no tsunami anywhere.
Lewis,
you looked through the whole thing.
Yeah, I started with Psalms, and I thought, well, maybe he. And then I ended up reading the whole Bible.
Wow,
you contradict the Bible a lot. It ends up, but tsunami definitely not in there.
Horatio, are you agree with this? You think tsunami is not in the Bible? Are you all right, Horatio?
Oh my God,
I'm really thinking
He's
about it.
He's weeping as he sits there.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Is there no tsunamis in the Bible?
Apparently not. Bart and Lewis have corrected me on that. No problem, even though I'm the leader of the group.
As the leader, and one member boldly steps forward, shouldn't you be addressing what is happening with Horatio? He's obviously in the middle of a mental breakdown.
It's just a case of the Nashville sads. It's not a mental breakdown. As soon as we
Why are we
the
singing
psalm,
gospel at someone who has Nashville sad?
Because that will cure it. There's no need for medicine or science. God will cure it.
When will you heal him, though?
It's already happening.
Are you already healed?
Yes, I've had his initials burned into my scrotum.
Yes.
And so that is part of the healing.
Yep, that starts it off. Yeah.
You're sweating profusely.
It hurts
you
very much.
You look really sick. Yes. You haven't slept in days. I know, because we sleep in the same bed.
We do.
Yes.
Because we're twins.
Wait.
Huh?
Siamese twins.
Yeah, the three of you.
Oh, because I sleep with you, too.
You three are Siamese twins, but one of you had a human growth on the side of you. So it's sort of a technicality if your twins are triplets. You all sleep in the double bed together, and I have the king bed upstairs.
late that night, in the middle of the night. Wake up. Wake up.
What's going on?
Shh, don't wake up the leader. I have something to whisper to you.
What? Hey, what's going on?
We have to run away. This place is filled with lies. We're so obviously not Siamese twins.
They're curing me of my Nashville sads, though.
No, they're not. You're a mess.
There's no tsunami in the Bible. Let's get out of here.
We all agreed after tsunami wasn't found in the Bible that he was filled with lies.
Yes.
And we look nothing alike. We've never been attached. Do you know what a Siamese twin is?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
It's a twin. That's the two of them together.
Oh, boy.
They
not just next to each other.
I heard it was next to each other.
We were separated.
He's lying. He tells us these lies, so we love each other.
I mean, if you're close enough and you walk around and you keep less than 2 inches from your shoulders.
That's not Siamese twins.
It's not?
No.
I don't know what to believe.
I don't know either.
We have to get out of here.
I'm scared.
You need drugs, medication, and good country music.
I found his keys. Let's get out of here.
Wait.
You have his keys?
His Jeep Bronco.
Those are his keys?
Yes.
Creak, creak, creak. Steps, creak, creak.
Pretend you're sleeping.
I guess I'll grab a little drink of water.
Stop whistling. Stop.
That's how they do it in the...
Stop whistling.
Sorry.
I think he went back to sleep.
Let me just check in, peek in on the twins. Everyone seems to be snoring normally. I'll head back up to my room. Creaks, creak, creak, steps, creak, creak, creak.
Let's go. I've got his keys again.
Stop it with the keys. That's what brought him in
for
the first time.
What did I just hear? It sounded like jingling keys. Let me check it out.
Back down.
Creak, creak, creak. Step, creak.
Snore.
Everything seems normal. No keys moving around. Everyone's snoring normally. Very good. Creak, creak, creak. Steps, creak, creak.
Hold on, let me grab my change.
What? What is that sound? Wait, what is going on down there? Creak, creak, creak. Steps, creak, creak.
I'm so thirsty.
Okay. Did someone just say something? I thought I heard a voice.
I'm joking.
The twins, are you okay?
Come on, man. Get it together. Get it together, man.
Oh. Get it together. Stop coughing.
Twins? Twins? Nope, everyone's snoring normally. Well,
we cut to hours later. They've escaped. They've escaped the dogs and the barbed wire. They've gotten through the swamp. They finally get to what they think is a safe area. Oh my God! Finally, hey, what was up with you whistling when we were snoring? No one whistles when they snore. That almost gave away the whole thing.
I can't help it. I love cartoons.
That was so fucked up. Nobody does. Have you ever done that for real?
Never heard anybody kind of whistle when they snore.
No,
it happens.
There might be like you have a weird thing in your nasal patches.
Yeah,
like,
that can happen.
But no. That is such bullshit.
Why?
And then suddenly when he went, he hears that echo out in the swamp. Oh, fuck, did you hear that?
Hello? Is someone beyond the barbed wire? Hello?
We see one, he's saying this through a megaphone as he goes through the swamp on one of those fan swamp boats.
Hello, is anyone out in the swamp?
Is that him?
Of course it's him.
Get the hell out of here.
Whoops, hit an alligator. Well, anyone out there in the swamp?
It smells like chopped up alligator.
What are we doing? Let's beat it.
Beat the alligator?
I'm sure beat the alligator.
And we cut to a, like the nicest office in Nashville, like whoever the head of Nashville is, and he gets through reading the lyrics to this song that Horatio has just presented to him, which ends with, Atlanta, the swamp boat kills an alligator.
True story.
It seems like it. The specifics are so real. We haven't had a song like this in Nashville since Blaze Foley.
Oh my God, that is an incredible compliment.
Did someone call my name?
Holy shit.
Blaze, I'm a big fan, Blaze.
How are you?
I didn't call your name, I just referenced you.
Well, whenever anybody says my name, Blaze,
you were dead.
In. How are you?
Are Good you the ghost you. Of Blaze Foley?
Yes, I am. And I hear a great song, and when I hear a great song, I got to sing it.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Swamp boat, look at it go.
And it fades out. The end. Holy shit. Who knew Pete could do a perfect Blaze Foley impression? Austin, what do you have for us next?
Let's see. Let's do an oldie. These guys to sing with me some more. Four wheels. I think they might need another microphone.
Treat me kindly, just as your own flesh and blood. Steer me wisely, like your daughters and your sons. I have been a lonesome stranger for so long. Four wheels, you're where I belong. Lazy heart, you push too hard. Got poison just waiting around for life. I was one of those waiting for my moment, so caught up in the lonely that the moment passed me by. Treat me kindly, just as your own flesh and blood. Steer me wisely, like your daughters and your sons. I have been a lonesome stranger for so long. Four wheels, you're where I belong. And I presume too much when I was younger. Always seemed like someone owed me the world. I have learned that the world is rarely given. You gave me yours, and for that there are no words. Treat me kindly, just as your own flesh and blood. Steer me wisely, like your daughters and your sons. I have been a lonesome stranger for so long. Four wheels, you're where I belong.
So explain that one. What's Four Wheels? What's that about?
I wrote that song about my old van, Van Raya Carey. She was a Ford Econoline 350, and she was my sweet, sweet fantasy. I loved her very dearly. I just, you know, I spent a lot of time touring, and sometimes I feel like when you're a musician, it's sort of like, how do I put this? It's like, you're a traveling charity where the sole beneficiary is yourself, you know, like, and you just kind of go around and like, you just got to like hope that everybody cares, that you're there, you know, and like, and a lot of the time you end up sleeping in people's houses, and they open up their doors to you, and you know, you become friends with people, and you know, you meet them, say they like meet each other at your show, a couple meets each other at your show, and then you know, you end up becoming buddies with them, and you stay with them, and then they get married and they have kids, and you know, you end up meeting their kids, and you know, like, and you kind of become part of their family, and like, you know, it's basically a reminder.
Steer me wisely, like your daughters and your sons.
Yeah, it's basically just, you know, I wrote it as a reminder that like that, you know, to myself, how much I love traveling and how important all of these people are, and you know, just not to take it for granted. That's basically, you know, the reason why I wrote it. So
come on in, boys. We have travelers here all the time. All the time. People come that play in the bar, stay at our place, and we just want you guys to feel at home.
We saw the fork out front that was etched into the fence post. So we knew this was a good place to come in and eat.
Oh, good. Well, come on in. Come on in.
Thanks for having us.
We treat you like family here.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it'd be nice to eat after doing all those shows.
Okay. All I need you to do is, there's some weeds out in the front garden, and I always have my boys pick weeds, do their chores on the weekend. So if you guys could pick weeds just around the flower bed, and you can come in, and I'll give you some food.
That sounds great. I'd love to do that.
Great.
I mean, it's a little duplicitous, but yeah, okay, no problem. That's all right.
Well, hold on there. What do you mean?
It just seemed like...
Hey, what are you doing?
Just say it.
Let's just do this and get some grub.
Okay.
No. What do you mean by duplicitous?
No, it's fine. We'll pick the weeds. No problem.
What do you mean by duplicitous, young man? Anytime my young man tries to say something like that, use a fancy $4 word on me.
I'm sorry about my choice of words. You just came on really strong when you opened the door, like you were going to be charitable, but it sounds like we're kind of working for our food. That's all.
I said I treat you like my family.
Yeah.
Not a charity case. You want to treat you like a charity case?
Yeah, well, okay.
Get out in front of the sidewalk. Go down to the shelter.
Okay.
That's right. How I treat charity cases.
All right,
cases.
We'll pick the weeds. We'll pick the weeds.
Some gloves anyway. Be quiet. Let's just grab some. Are there some gloves?
Hey, what's all this racket, Mom?
Oh, hi, son.
Jeez. I got real drunk last night.
It's 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah? Who the hell are you guys?
We're here to help your mother pick some weeds and probably do your chores so we can get some food.
Yeah.
But you've been sleeping all day. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be this aggressive towards you.
He came on kind of strong on the kid,
sorry,
too.
Here's something I also do with my family. Anytime there's words to be had, I let him wrestle in the backyard. You guys want to wrestle my boys?
I would love to. I will take him down.
Okay.
All right. Let's do it.
Let's go. Let me take my shirt off. We cut to the backyard
where there's obviously this well-worn pit in the backyard. Looks like there's...
You don't have to take your shirt off, Tim.
It's off already. Let's go.
There's different homemade weapons strewn about the yard.
This isn't a wrestling match. This is a pit fight.
It's all right. This is like...
Well, you said you wanted to be like family.
So let's put the pillowcases.
Let the games begin.
Oh, my God. He's got a baseball bat with nails in it.
Boom.
That was it. He hit him with a stick. He's got a garbage can top.
Why don't you get up and get a life, you little bum?
Jesus.
He's 20 years old, drunk at 2:30.
Suddenly a flower pot hits him from behind. Crash. And everything goes black and he wakes up. And he can't move his legs or his arms, and he looks down, and they've been tied to every post of the bed. And he looks over, and his bandmates are also tied to posts and beds.
What the hell's going on?
They hit us all with flower pots and tied us up.
What the?
You're part of the family now.
What's going on? You're like Kathy Bates.
Let's have a blowjob contest.
Said you're like Kathy Bates.
Blowjob contest.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to see who I can blow the best.
Oh, my God. All right.
Jesus Christ, where the fuck are we? Where are we?
Where are we?
What fucking planet are we on? I thought people were good.
We cut to downstairs. I want to talk to you about the blowjob contest.
Sorry, Mom.
I'm up there trying to intimidate them, and you yell blowjob contest, and I tried to act like I was on board.
We hit them all tied up to the bedpost.
But what does that mean, blowjob contest?
I told you I was going to see.
But you're the only participant.
Right.
How can there be a winner? You said whoever. Can you not do that anymore? All Let's right, just threaten geez, him with
Mom,
violence.
I thought we want to do stuff together.
I do. I want to violently threaten.
We cut to upstairs. Okay, I got my ropes off. I managed to get them off. Let me untie you.
Yeah, quickly.
Okay,
I don't want that weirdo kid coming back up here again.
Let me just grab the keys so we can use the truck.
Mom, I hear keys up there.
Oh, shit. Fuck, why'd I do that?
Did you hear that? You get up there and get them.
Yeah, I bet you I can suck those guys off more than you can.
What? I want you to grab him and tie him back up.
I thought we were going to have a contest.
He puts on a helmet he's made out of a trash can. Like,
all right, you're untied. Quick, grab your keys.
I've got my keys. Okay. Let's get out of here. Let's go.
Okay, through
the
window.
Window.
Yeah, oh, that's what I was
going
to say.
I just feel like I'm always running. What's going on? Down this gutter. Shimmy, shimmy, shimmy.
Shimmy, shimmy. Oh, it's breaking off the building.
Hey, welcome to my van, guys.
Oh, shit.
They wake up and now they're tied up to a post in this bed in his van.
You moved the bed from upstairs into your van?
I have a customized van here.
Oh, okay.
But it's ready for...
Don't you have a job or anything? What the hell are you doing?
I don't have a job.
This is all you do? Is it?
I get drunk
and grab people and give them blowjobs when they don't want it?
Blow and
tie them up?
All the time, yeah.
What's your problem?
There's a lot of problems, man. My dad used to take me when he used to have sex with hookers, so that kind of twisted things up a bit.
What happened to your dad?
Huh?
Where's your dad now?
We got to a job interview at a mattress store. Okay, it says you never worked in a mattress store, but you fit mattresses in tight places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's just selling here. We don't usually move mattresses.
Just in case someone was like, hey, I don't have a bed, but I want to buy a mattress anyway, and I could help them out and let them know that the dimensions of an Econoline Ford van could fit a nice full mattress right in there.
Okay. This is the third job interview you've done with us, and you keep sneaking in under different names. Mm-hmm. And I've told you every time.
I'm not sneaking in. I've changed my name twice.
Okay. I don't know it's you until you show up is what I guess I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to give you a chance thinking maybe he's gotten a job at a mattress store in between now and the last time I interviewed him. But you still are bragging about
some
forcing...
some online studying of mattresses and...
Mostly sticking them in Econoline vans.
We cut to the Social Security Department. Hi, welcome to the Social Security Department. You want to make another name change?
Money.
What?
I want my money. I went and tried to get a job at a mattress place 3 times, and I want welfare for the rest of my life.
Oh, well, it doesn't like exactly work like that. This is actually the name changing part of Social Security. If you, did you want
to
change your name
again?
Sir, you walked up to me and said, I want to change my name. And then
I have a few errands and I'm mixing up my... Okay, let's change my name.
All right. So the most recent name you had was Billy C. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to change your name to this time?
I want to change my name to...
We cut to another store where he's applying for
a job. So my name is...
Hi, so you're Randy Przanski?
Yeah.
What's so funny about that?
Why are you laughing? Time I've heard it.
Oh.
This is, I got it changed about a week ago, and it's the first time I've talked to anyone who's actually used it.
Okay. So you're constantly laughing at it. Are you okay? Do you like walking dogs? Do you like dogs?
If you just say it again for me.
Randy Przanski?
I'm a very serious person when it comes to animals the treatment of animals.
You're coming off a little bit strange, you know. You're laughing every time I say Randy Presents. Jesus Christ, are you all right? Do you want a glass of water or something?
I'd love a glass of water.
Here you go.
We cut to this man with his advisor. Okay, I see you hired someone who admitted to changing their name a week ago.
Yeah,
that's a huge red flag.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's just a dog walking business. What's the big deal? Why is that? What's he going
to
do?
These people are giving keys to wealthy people's homes.
What
do you mean? It's not just the dog walking. It's the fact they walk into people's homes when they're not there.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, here's the piss test for that dog walker we're interviewing. I got it back.
Okay.
He came out clean. No drugs or anything.
See? Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That Randy Przanski? Is that
Humans, Let's be real and talk about reality and turning it into a website with Squarespace. Now, you've heard my daughter Sydney on past Squarespace ads. She does a great job. We have a great time. There's lots of laughs. You get to see the soft side of Maddie B. But I don't have to say, the head of Earwolf, Mr. Anderson, as he makes us call him, has said he doesn't appreciate all the scatological, I don't do a great British, you know, the scatological humor in your advertising is offensive. He yelled at me and he shook his finger at me and he said, you know, basically that it's hard to sell ads when there's all the poo-poo, pee-pee humor that my daughter seems to enjoy and bring to the Squarespace ad reads. So if you are someone out there, a human who has bought a Squarespace site using the improv code, yes, the offer code improv for a Squarespace site, if you have done that and you were inspired by Sydney and her passion for all things poo-poo and pee-pee, I mean, she's not a pervert. She just thinks it's funny. You know, because it is funny. You know, there's a lot of funny things about poop. And I'm not going to sit here and defend my daughter's sense of humor. And I know she can go really right up to the line of being offensive when it comes to poo-poo, pee-pee humor and underwear and diarrhea and songs about it. If you are a buyer of Squarespace and you were influenced by her ads, I'd say write them. You know, write their website, write Earwolf and say, sit, whatever. You know what I'm saying. But the truth is, like, the passion I have for my daughter's humor, I can make a whole website about it. Her jokes, videos of the jokes. She's actually writing the jokes now down. She repeated an old joke that she had read once. She was pretending to read to a friend this joke that goes, there's a picture and it's a guy. He's under a lamppost in the night, and he's looking in the light under the lamppost. And some guy goes, "Hey, what are you looking for?" And the guy's like, "I dropped my contact lens." And the guy says, I dropped it back a block ago, but there's no light there, so I'm looking here." She said that joke. Do you get that joke? That's a sophisticated joke to repeat. And I didn't even repeat it well myself. But I could write that joke down. There could be a whole Squarespace site just of jokes kids tell. That's a genius idea. I'm sure it already exists out there. And if it doesn't, that's my idea. But make your own idea into a Squarespace. I've already said it. They do all the stuff. They do all the hard stuff. The e-commerce, the templates, the customer support. Squarespace.com/improv for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use offer code improv to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/improv. Offer code improv.
Let's listen to another song.
Austin, what do you have for us next?
this next one is the title track. Yeah. I put this up half a step. Is that going to be a problem for you? Okay, good. In the audience, is that going to be a problem for you?
We were never fans of stock car races. Though mesmerized by the roaring of those cars. Out in the dark, the sound echoed off our skin. We took to rooftop with those engines on the wind. Where we sang the songs of our fathers, shallow. Sha-la-la, it's the sound of emotion.
children turn the radio on. Fists hit the air, praising rock and roll gods. From the soil they are formed, born to grow corn and cut stone. They trade off the verses and they sing twin in the choruses. Babes of the Bible Belt, maybe low-hanging fruit in the forest, but they sang the songs of their fathers. Sha-la-la, ooh-la-la-la, and all the prayers of their mothers. Dutiful daughters, dutiful sons. Sha-la-la. Radio off. Those holy hymns were no longer ours. Though we'd sang the songs of our fathers. Sha-la-la, ooh-la-la. And all the prayers of our mothers for dutiful daughters and dutiful sons. Sha-la-la goes the rattle and hum from the hearth of a Midwestern home. Sha-la-la.
Title track, new album, Immortal American. So what's that one about?
That song is about a lot of things. The song is partially about growing up punk in the Midwest and not quite being fully understood. You know, kind of getting the shit kicked out of you by rednecks for having a mohawk and whatnot. It struck me because I bought a house like in a part of town that when I was a teenager, if I would have been seen walking around and I would have gotten the shit kicked out of me. And so it's like, it's really an interesting thing. It's not, you know, like that anymore. Bloomington has become ever more, you know, left leaning or whatever over the years, and the confines of the city have expanded and stuff like that. You know, what's an acceptable area for just, you know, the kind of freaks in the town is a little bit different. Of course, also being a freak is not nearly as weird as it was, you know, in different times in the past, you know, they were. So, you know, as a result of, you know, punk bands being on TV and stuff like that and exposure, mm-hmm. having, you know, being a weirdo isn't as big of a deal as it was when I was young. But, you know, this song isn't really about, you know, who I am today. So much as it is about like who I was.
Did you have a mohawk?
Oh yeah, I've had mohawk, bihawk, trihawk. I had dreadlocks. I had charged out hair. I had every single type of punk.
My friend of my group of friends, when we were getting to punk, he the day he got a mohawk was some from Little Rock, Arkansas. So similar vibe was like crazy. It was it was like, did you hear about Bobby? And he came over to my house and. The moment my parents saw Bobby, I was like, yeah. And I had the most conservative haircut ever. But when we'd go up, the word faux hawk didn't exist, but I would always try to make my hair, my Jufro, into this weird, like, fucking rooster hawk. Yeah. You could maybe call it. We cut to a barber shop in a very conservative town.
Next, come on up to the seat. Hey, how you doing, Bill?
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good.
Need a cold coffee?
Sure, why not?
You know where they are, in the refrigerator and back.
All right, I'll go grab one. How you doing?
How's Mabel doing?
Oh, Mabel's fantastic.
That's
she's
great.
Really good. She's right now with, she's at church right now.
Yeah? Uh-huh. Have the episodes stopped? For Mabel. I'm sorry, was I not supposed to bring those up?
I just think it's weird that you bring it up as a fourth thing you'd say to me.
Help yourself to the cold coffee.
It is good.
Yeah.
Mabel's doing fine, thank you.
That's great. Here, have a seat. Just a little trim there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. What you normally do.
Around the ears and all?
No, leave the hair around the ears, yeah.
Okay. Real good.
How's your life?
Everything's good.
Yeah.
Ching, ching.
Hello, how are you?
They look over and there's this punk rock kid. He's got piercings all over his ears and nose, and it's one in his cheek. He's got a pink mohawk with a little bihawk, sticking out on the side.
Well, how are you today? The pink came in about 20 minutes ago. I'll be able to fix that up in a jiff.
Thanks, man.
No problem.
Just want to get my bihawk trimmed.
I will take
it's coming in a little too strong.
We'll take care of that in just a moment, as soon as I'm done here with Randy.
When we were kids, we'd wear jean shorts.
Excuse me?
There was a rebel streak in a lot of us when we were growing up, and we used to wear jean shorts.
Jean shorts?
Mm-hmm.
They used to call you patches, didn't they?
Well, I didn't have a lot of money, so yeah, my mother always patched up my jeans.
We don't patch it up. We leave the hole, and we write something above the hole like, fuck you, or something like
hey,
that.
Hey, I've not told you before language, not to use that language.
Oh, I thought we were talking about jeans.
Well, I know, but I just don't appreciate that kind of language in my barbershop.
All good for a little rebellion, but let's not start swearing now.
Ding! Paul.
Paul.
Hello, sir. Hey. Well, Bill. Sir. Paul. Mama's having one of her episodes. You want me to shock her with the cord like normal?
No, hold on now.
Okay. Jesus Christ, Randy, are you shocking your wife?
Yeah, I mean, you're judging me for saying the word fuck, and you shock your
like
wife?
Like I said before, please.
Hey, he's shocking his wife with some electric cord, and you have a problem with me cursing?
She's having seizures, and she has a severe depression. The only thing that makes it go away is when I plunge two forks in her belly like I'm cooking a hot
That's
dog
sick.
In an office
You guys
building.
Are so backwards. That's why I'm moving away from this place. Half this town has Nashville sad and doesn't even want to address it.
Well, everybody has their own problems, all right, son? I mean, look at you.
I should call the cops. He's shocking his wife with an electric cord. You should take her to the hospital.
I'm sure it's a little bit more professional than that, isn't it,
Randy?
Doesn't
sound like it.
You should probably get up and go and shock your wife.
It's not like Mabel doesn't want it. She understands she has a mental illness, and so, you know, I put the forks in.
We cut to Mabel at her house.
Shock me! Shock me, baby!
Come on, man.
Paul, you want me to shock her?
Why did it take you so long, you fucking piece of shit?
Hey, watch that language,
Mom. Why didn't you get him here faster?
I will. Shock your mother, please.
We cut to the local punk club. Oh, man. You're not going to believe what I heard about at the barbershop today.
Bill's barbershop?
Yeah.
Oh.
We are so unpunk.
What
compared
do you mean?
To what like the conservatives are doing in town?
Yeah.
They're like getting electric cords and shocking each other with
Whoa,
it.
Whoa, that's fucking punk, man.
I know, and I felt embarrassed because all we do is curse at best and write a curse word if we like it on our jeans.
Yeah. I got damn it written on my jeans right now.
Hi, welcome to the hardware store. What are you looking for, fellas?
We're interested in creating our own shock cool
right
stuff.
This way. Let's go into the electrical department.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, sure.
Wow, I didn't think you'd know what I was talking about.
It must be everybody, yeah.
Well, here you go. We've got outlets and gang boxes and cord. What do you need?
What's a gang box?
A gang box is a gang.
Did you bang. Say gang bang?
That's what you just said.
Sorry, a Freudian slip.
We cut to him at his with his posture and break. Hey, I heard you out there talking about gangbangs. What the hell's up with you?
Well, I didn't mean to say that, but...
It's a gang box.
It's a gang box, yeah. Triple gang box, and I...
We cut to the next day when someone's wondering about the gang box. What's that right there, the big electrical outlet?
Oh, that's
thing?
A gang bang gang box.
Hey, there!
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, I never... Oh. He slams the door of the hardware store. That's the fifth customer you've lost this week calling the gang box a gang bang.
I'm sorry.
What's wrong
I'm
with you?
I'm hooked on porn.
What?
Hello, hi, sorry to bother you. I am the town pervert.
Yeah, we heard
you're the necrophiliac, aren't you?
Well, that's one of many
used all over the cemetery.
One of many hats I wear. I heard
what do you want, freak?
Huh? Oh, I heard I could find a gangbang here.
Oh, boy.
You know what? I think there's two kids that want to talk to you. They write stuff on their jeans and stuff.
Okay.
They might be interested in you.
All right, I'll start looking for them.
We cut to the punk club. All right, I think we almost have it hooked up.
Yeah, let me just plug it in over here.
Okay, and
Hey,
what are you doing in
it's
here?
It's the town pervert.
Hey, it's me, the town pervert. Okay, you know.
You're not a punk, you're a pervert.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know.
Not the same!
In some ways, they are.
Well, there are some. We do share similar clothing styles, especially the sadomasochistic clothing that was started with Malcolm McLaren back in the punk shops in the 1970s.
And we fade to 30 years from now when this punk kid's a professor on punk music. And this is a speech he's giving to a college classroom.
And Malcolm McLaren had a place called the Sex Shop. Vivian Westwood was his wife, and she was into S&M wear, which then became popular with the Sex Pistols. But really, they were just mirroring what the New York Dolls had already done in the United States of America, where that's thus started the Who Started Punk? Great Britain or New York City? Any questions?
I think I'm in the wrong class. I was
see a guy at the Bruce Springsteen shirt stand up.
Hey, how you
greetings
doing?
From Asbury Park.
Hey, how are you? I just I think I'm in the wrong class, and I just sat through this.
Yeah,
whole thing.
You dropped your red durag.
Oh yeah, let me just tie that back onto my head. There we go. Hey,
Bruce Springsteen lookalike contest right down the hallway.
Really?
We cut down to the Bruce Springsteen lookalike contest.
Hey, I'm here to sign up for the Bruce Springsteen lookalike contest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
is there a piece of paper I could sign? Or
just put on these handcuffs.
What?
Put these handcuffs on.
Okay. Got them on.
Click yourself right into that bed, the bedposts.
To the bedposts, all right.
He looks around, he notices no one else is at the Bruce Springsteen look-alike contest, and suddenly realizes he didn't walk into a door, he had walked into an exit where a van pulled up to the exit door. Now the van pulls away.
Hey, this is crazy, this is moving, this room is moving.
Yeah.
Are you driving this thing?
Uh-huh.
We cut to 3 weeks. Now the van is parked way out in the woods. And he still thinks this is the Bruce Springsteen contest. He's brought some Oreos back from a 7-Eleven to feed him with.
I come from down in the valley where Mr. When you're young. Hey, when are we going to start this thing? Are there other applicants? Are they trying in for this too?
Oh, yeah, we're driving over.
I've been really working on my Springsteen. It's kind of hard being shackled up like
right
this.
Now. We're going to get there, and there's a whole lot. I'm sponsoring you to be my guy who I enter into the contest.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm going to start talking like him now, all right? Is that okay?
Yeah, do whatever you want, man.
Yeah, you bet.
Dude, you look just like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah,
you sound like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to morph into him, you know, and try to be just like him.
And he got more and more into the Springsteen character until he eventually thought he was Springsteen, and he was out. And this went into like three years out in the woods. And then a hunter came along.
Oh.
There's a van out here. Is anybody living here?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Bruce Springsteen.
Help.
You inside here?
Is Patty out there?
Open up the door.
Is Patty with you?
Patty?
My wife, yeah.
Her name was Mary.
What? No, no, that was my high school love. Here, come on in.
He opens up the door. He's still tied up to the bedpost. The pervert had died like a year ago. He's just a skeleton now.
I don't know how I've survived so long sitting here, just, I guess, my songwriting ability and thinking about Mary.
What are you doing
Mary.
Out here?
Well, I'm just trying to be me and songwriting and such.
Cut to
a couple in a taxi in New York. They had just left the show. What'd you think? I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was a good show.
Bruce Springsteen, like in Broadway, is pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You seemed uncomfortable at some part.
Something about him just didn't seem like he was Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
Yeah, he looked a little different.
We cut to backstage at Madison Square Garden as so-called Bruce steps off the stage.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to talk to you.
Hey, who are you?
I'm Bruce Springsteen.
I'm Bruce Springsteen.
No, I'm Bruce Springsteen.
Who the hell am I then?
What?
Hey, man, I'm Bruce Springsteen, too.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Stevie Van Zandt.
Hey, what's up, Stevie?
Hey,
what's up, Stevie? You know, which one of us is the real Bruce Springsteen?
I've never known. It just rotates through you guys.
It
doesn't matter to me. You know?
Who knows the most facts about Mary? Anyone who knows the most facts about Mary probably is a real Bruce Springsteen.
That's
about
what? Point. Let's do it.
Mary. You don't even know who Mary is?
I don't. I'm out.
Well, tell you one thing. Her dress waves. I'll tell you that.
What's that?
What's that? Yeah, well, we know you're not Springsteen.
All right, let's figure this thing out. Let's figure this thing out. All right, we're going to do a Mary fact off.
I know everything about Mary.
This Bruce Springsteen on my right.
Yeah, well, Mary was my high school sweetheart.
She's my high school sweetheart, too. We met down by the river.
Down by the river. We got married.
I said down by the river.
We made love. And,
we also made love. We got married down by the river, too.
Okay, you guys are just repeating the facts back and forth to each other. You know, one of you is going to say one fact, and if it checks out, we go to the next guy.
This is getting crazy out there.
We'll be out there in a minute. You know he's going to go for 16 hours. Tell him to wait.
I know, but still, man. Just turn it up.
All right, well, man. You keep him under control. You keep doing political stand-up to keep him entertained, all right? We'll be out in a little bit.
We cut out there as this guy knows nothing about political politics.
Boo!
Where's the ball?
Hey, come on.
Where's
the
hold up, hold up. $100 for these tickets.
Hey, who are you? Hillary?
What?
Huh? Get out of here.
Hillary. This is a blue state, asshole. Oh, yeah. A senator here.
Yeah, let's I like get, Hillary,
let's
too.
Let's just get Springsteen out here. Let's go. Come on.
Come on.
Hold on. Just a few more jokes. I got some stuff I'm working on.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Hey, SCOTUS, more like scrotums.
Yeah, I got it.
What? Like not like the stuff that
goes. Tomato.
The stop! Oh! It's the skin on a testicle. I thought it was funny because it was like the thing.
These aren't even jokes. It's just you talking.
All right, give me a break, guys.
Let's listen to another song.
I don't know. I'm going to play Happy.
When you left your home, west you fled the rising sun. You wrapped your nerve around the barrel of a gun. The future smoldered on the tip of your tongue. You were lost among the zeros and ones that cut long lines to the minds of the young. But are you happy with your new life? Are you happy with the new world? Are you drowning in the dream, a shiny new beginning? Happy. crow. Heart will mend and break again like bone. You wanna get high, 'cause living low is all you've known. And you were born a little sparrow with an arrow in your throat. But are you happy with your new life? Are you happy with the new world? Are you drowning in the dream, the shiny new beginning, just like me?
Also off the new album, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Here, give that back to him real quick. So what does this mean right here? We were like the wings of a crow. Explain that lyric.
Oh, it says wind will lift the wings of a crow. Yeah. And then the next line is a heart will mend and break again like bone.
Now, what inspires that line? What's this about and what does that mean?
I mean, it's just like... kind of truths, I don't know, you know, because I guess my point was kind of just that you can fly away, you know, like, and you can all of your wounds will heal or whatever, you know, is basically kind of what I was saying there. But you know, it's kind of these sort of, I don't know, all this stuff kind of leaves scars. You know, the whole entire song is basically about running away from your problems or being distracted, you know, like trying to find distractions from your problems. Like, you know, for me, you know, drugs and alcohol and food, you know, those are all like things that I used to use just to keep myself happy, you know, because I was miserable. And, you know, I basically needed distractions in order to keep myself, you know, occupied. So I didn't think about the sadness, the deep sadness that was inside of myself. And I just always was moving to a new city thinking I, you know, needed a change of pace or whatever, and, you know, looking for some sort of new thrill or whatever to occupy my time. And, you know, eventually I realized that none of it was making me happy, you know, which is like, you know, I just basically looking at it from the outside in, like, and talking to maybe somebody else who's having the same experiences that I used to have, and just, you know, asking them, you know, are you happy? You know, you've made all these, you've changed in all these ways, but, you know, has it satisfied you? Are you getting to the root of the problem? Or are you merely just throwing band-aids on top of wounds, you know?
So that's some deep shit from Austin Lucas once again.
I'd like to, Springsteen would like to say something about that.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding.
That was exciting.
Hey, Matt, I told you, you have to go to the hospital. You have a band-aid over that knife wound you got when you got robbed.
Well, yeah, it's okay, right?
No, there's blood and pus coming out all around it. The band-aid is like an inch long, and the cut's like 3 inches one way and 3 inches the other way.
So what are you saying?
You got to go to the hospital. You're gonna die. It'll become infected, and something bad will happen.
I like it, man. I'm okay with it.
What?
I'm okay with it.
You're okay with it, but it's bloody.
All right, let's go to the hospital.
All right. Hop in the car.
Okay. Do you have the keys?
Yeah, let me get them.
I got mine, too. Okay.
Well, which one of us is going to drive?
Just you drive.
Okay. So I'm glad you finally agreed to go to the hospital. I was getting worried about you.
Thanks. It's just, I felt like my wound would heal into itself and eventually get small enough
for that Band-Aid to be okay.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. All right. Okay. Here we are. I'm going to turn you over to this ER nurse. Excuse me.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm sorry.
Huh?
We're busy right now. Can you guys go to another hospital?
What? My friend has a knife wound, as you can see.
Oh, my God. It's a knife wound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't put the proper size Band-Aid in it. Yeah,
nurse,
it was in blood.
Don't accept anybody else. We can't take anybody else in the hospital.
I know, doctor. I know I'm trying to tell them.
I don't even know why I'm out here. We're so busy inside. I shouldn't even be saying this.
Is St. Vincent's open now?
We cut to St. Vincent's as they're pulling up.
All right. Let's try this hospital.
Okay, I really do feel like Oh, I'm sorry. We're locking up. Can I help you?
Yeah, my friend has a knife wound, and we need to get him
some help. Oh, okay. We're closing right now.
A hospital is closing? You're not 24 hours?
You see, we're turning all the chairs
over. Don't let anyone else in here. Don't let anyone else in here. Too busy.
Your doctor, is that the doctor here?
He's head administrator, yes.
Okay, well, so...
Is it a knife wound?
Yeah.
Let it heal itself.
It's a nice wound.
What?
Let it heal itself.
I was saying eventually it'll heal down to a size that fits the Band-Aid that's over
it,
right?
Most likely, yes, yes.
Oh.
If you can't go to Walgreens or Rite Aid, and you can get super glue.
We cut to that doctor's passing test. Dr. Shbabibel? Is that how you say it? Shbabibel?
Shalahabil.
Oh,
yes.
Shalahabin. Listen, you can't just let knife heals wound. You know, they just can't heal themselves. You know, you failed this test.
I know, but did you see how crowded the whole town was with wounds and all sorts of things?
I don't care. You can't just send people out there and think they're going to heal themselves.
Or maybe I'll send them to your house. How's that? Maybe you and your wife could deal with knife wounds.
Hey, I'm just an administrator here trying to get you to pass your test so you can become a doctor.
We see the administrator with his tutor. Well, it looks like you got a 100 except for this knife wound problem. It seems like you're being really stubborn about knife wounds. Don't you think you should just study up on it and you'll be able to pass next time?
Will I be working by myself in the hospital?
Of course you will. You'll be head administrator unless you're...
Just by myself? Can someone else just handle the knife wounds?
Oh, you're saying get an assistant just to handle any knife wound problems.
Please. Please, I beg of you. I'm a perfect doctor in every other way.
And we cut to years into... He does find a loophole and he does get his medical degree and it's years. And he went years without having to diagnose a knife wound. Until one day, and I was cutting a hole in my jeans, and the scissors, I forced down on the scissors too hard, and it cut my leg pretty bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Both blades or just one?
Just one of the blades, like a knife.
Oh,
Doctor, here's the wash-up kit that you asked for. So you
Janine, can you please deal with this knife wound?
I'm sorry, Doctor?
Can you please deal with this knife wound?
Yes, the doctor suddenly has flop sweat and all the color's gone out of his face.
Doctor, everything's ready to go. All you need to do is...
I said it was scissors. It's like a knife.
It's all washed out. It's ready to go. You just need to stitch it up.
Okay, I'll do this.
We cut to later at a lawyer's office. Well, it's good you called me. You are being sued for malpractice. That teenager died of that scissor wound because you were unable to help. And now his parents are suing you for medical malpractice. But I represent cases like this all the time.
Please, you're one of the greatest attorneys in the state.
Yes, it's true.
What do you think I should do?
Well, I have a plan that I think can get you out of this. Let me just grab my file. Will you hand me those scissors over there?
And suddenly he gets flop sweat. He goes into a fit.
Oh, no, the scissors! Help! Save me! I can get you off the case if you save me!
We cut to him with another lawyer. All right, so what happened
before we go any further...
Oh, I've removed all scissors from the room. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute.
Hanging on the wall as a decoration behind this lawyer is a samurai sword.
Okay, let's just stay away from that sword and we can be fine.
Oh, I didn't see
Don't
that.
Don't ask me to reach for it or look at it or anything, please.
Seems like you are a little focused on it. Maybe we should just go to another room.
I would prefer this, yes.
You know what? I trust you. It's going to be quick.
Oh, my head! No!
And his head's on the floor, and there's that brief moment when a head gets decapitated, and it has the power to look back at its own body and say whatever oxygen was left in its throat and get, oh, my, that's my bar.
What?
We cut to a psychiatrist's office, and he's laying on a couch.
Is it fine if I sit on my tummy?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
So tell me, let's go deeper into this, because you seem to have a very horrible problem with stabbing people and wounds. And
I'm a very professional, very educated doctor, but when I come near any type of utensil that appears to be like a knife or a half knife,
anything
I can't
like
deal
this
with
pencil.
It.
Would this pencil suffice?
We cut to that pencil through the eyeball into the brain of that therapist dead on the ground.
I told you, nothing sharp, nothing.
We were in medical school together.
And we cut to prison where now that former doctor's telling this tale of all the people he's killed with knives.
That's crazy. So you killed three different people, four different people with various kind of implements?
It's more of like, I don't like to think of it as I murdered somebody. It's more of like,
oh, okay, so you're innocent like all of us.
Oh, no, not like this. But
man, you need to get shivved. He's shivving me back!
So they shiv each other. And for the first time in his life, he realizes that if he doesn't operate and address his own knife wound, he himself will die.
Hey, the doctor's trying to do something to himself, y'all. You see it?
Oh.
He's trying to fix himself.
Turn off that Amos and Andy, okay? It's a serious thing going on here.
And scene. Holy shit. An Amos and Andy show broke out in one of the cells next to him. Oh, man. Horatio, what's this new show you're on? Can you even tell people?
It's called Black Monday, and it takes place in the 80s when the stock market crashed.
Yeah.
And Don Cheadle's in it, being Cheadle-icious.
All right, that's a sell.
Balls, yeah.
Does he go by that?
Let's find out. Danielle writes for that show. She might be doing some on it as well. That's my wife. Yeah. Charlie, anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I have a TV show I created coming out in January on YouTube Premium called Weird City. So
I've heard a lot about it. Sounds really cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. Weird City on YouTube Premium in January.
All righty. Pete Holney, where can people, like, contact you and tell you, like, I didn't appreciate that Amos and Andy voice you did at the end of the show?
That's not what that was. That wasn't Amos and Andy voice. A lot of levels right there. Obviously, I have the acting sads. I have nothing to brag about. Improv blues. I'm always out there doing stuff.
Yeah, man. We all got the Hollywood sads from time
to
time.
Sads.
I address my Hollywood sads by doing Stitcher podcasts, including my dead wife, the robot car. Check that out. But folks, you gotta buy Immortal Americans by Austin Lucas, the latest album. Get it to go, austinlucas.com, right? Just look it up online. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And you guys are on tour.
That's right. We're on tour right now. We'll be on tour pretty much all the time, with little exception, into next year. At least I will, or I will be with them also, you know.
All right. Well, thanks for visiting us again, Austin.
Thank you guys.
That was great.
Really keep cool. Being human.
Be a good human. Listen to Matt's new improvised series, My Dead Wife, The Robot Car, out now on Stitcher Premium. Check out Matt Besser's Patreon podcast called Professor Besser. Listen to Stolen Idea, Matt, Bobby and Brett's epic punk rock musical on Stitcher Premium, and tell your friends. Rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about the best podcast in the universe. Music by Dragoon. This has been Improv for Humans.
Hey,
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the Improv Fantasy Podcast, Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins is crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos, ruler of the Eighth Circle.
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.